Well, good morning. God bless each one of you. I hope you all have been enjoying the time here so far. And I think people, hopefully, you have gotten some sleep last night. If not, it's not my fault, hopefully. I would like to read a scripture again that was read yesterday. Before we get into the topic, let's read Psalm 127. We read that, that was read yesterday, and I would like to read it again this morning. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. No, children are inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemy in the gate. So one thing we have to remember, that our labor to raise a family, are totally in vain without the help of God. We cannot do it properly without God. And that has to be the foundation of our life. Children are a gift to God, from God to us. And so whether we are trying to teach or not, children will be taught. We are teaching them. The question is not, am I teaching my children? It is, what am I teaching them? So whether you try to or not, you are going to teach them something. But before I get to the question, why are we teaching the children, I want to share with you an experience that has been very valuable for me. A number of years ago, I was at, I believe it was CMTI, it was something related to school. And there was a 77-year-old school teacher that gave a very short devotional. And he said one sentence that has stuck with me the rest of my life. If you think about it, all the knowledge, everything we have, has been given to us. Really, if you really think it through, we cannot take credit. We like to think that we're really smart, but all the knowledge has been given to us. And he said, this one question, talking to a group of school teachers, he said, who is teaching the teacher? And the point is, where do we get our knowledge from? Are we sitting at the feet of Jesus? Or our interest in life? Or are we going to secular sources to find? So I would, to put it in our words, who is teaching the father? Who is teaching the mother? Are we spending time sitting at the feet of Jesus? Did we read the word of God? Did we pray? Did we allow other Christians, other believers to speak into my life? So who is teaching the Father? Because what we are receiving our knowledge from affects what we teach our children. Is there an interesting thing here? Excuse me, there's a lot of people that emphasize the importance of being fishermen. And that's very good, but that's not exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me. and I will make you fishers of men. So the emphasis is not so much on doing this and that, but to follow Christ and let God make us the fishers of men. It's just a different twist in life. So the model that Christ has taught us with Jesus and his disciples. And so the goal of the disciple was to become like his rabbi. So Jesus, so to follow Christ must be the foundation from which we teach. Jesus Christ is the best teacher. When Christ becomes the passion of your life, you are teaching your children something. You're teaching them what is important. To be portraying that Jesus Christ is all we need. Or do we portray to our children that my business, my wealth, my hobby, my technology, or sport is of utmost importance? I would like to read one more scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Of Jeremiah 9. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, of righteousness in the earth, but in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So, some of you might be gifted in making money, some of you might be gifted in music, some might be gifted in power, and others might have all kinds of knowledge, but we don't glory in those things. We glory the fact that we can actually know God. Is something to glory about. God delights in righteousness, kindness, and judgment. So when we as parents have the vision for what the kingdom of God is, really contagious. We have a real vision for God's kingdom. This comes back in the question, what are we teaching our children? As we follow Christ, remember that to follow Christ means that we follow him in all aspects of life. What we speak and what we do is the same thing. There's so many people that have been confused when people say the right word, but the light speaks something else. It's a powerful testimony when your words and your life speak the same message. It's really unfortunate, but we have put light into compartment. We say, if I milk the cow, or if I lay block, that's an earthly thing. If I pass out tracts, if I go to a foreign country, that's me stuff. That's really serving God. But that's not how God had meant it to be. I mean, those things are wonderful things, but God had meant it to live the whole of our life following Christ. So I can be out laying blocks with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can be working for God even though it doesn't look like I'm doing a great thing. And our whole life needs to speak the same message. So many times children can see things. They're not dumb. So if I am a Sunday morning and I give a glowing testimony about the love of God and the rest of the week, my life is all glory about my business. Children see that. God did not want us to have Sunday school Christianity. Bible school Christianity. She wanted to have 24/7 Christianity all the time. When we say, I love God, but the rest of the week, my life portrays something else, it actually damages its health concept of right and wrong. They learn to do the same thing. And that is one big mistake that a lot of our Protestant friends have made, when they put a lot of stock in saying the right things and writing the right words in the book and stuff, but the life speaks otherwise. Another word for that is hypocrisy. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we read a passage, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 through 24. Verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, with thee break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thee do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness! No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So in here, Jesus teaching very clear that we are not to lay up treasures in the earth. We heard about what can we take with us to heaven. We cannot take our earthly treasures to heaven, but we can take our children. Now remember, we cannot put our children into the kingdom of God, but we can do what God wants us to do, to provide a training that would help the heart return to God. Too many times we have interpreted the verse 21, we say, but where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says where your treasure is, where you value, where you put your hand to, where you put your light into, that where your heart will be. So if somebody says, if I have a huge business and I'm just there all the time and my family is just going by the wayside, and I were to tell you, oh, my heart is in my family. That won't work. People can easily be able to see that my treasure is in my business and my heart is following. So let's get really, really practical. Sometimes being practical can kind of painful, but I think sometimes we need to be practical to help us do this whole thing of hypocrisy. Now, we, as long as we are in the flesh, we will never be totally perfect, but we need to be humble and recognize that we need the help of God. What do you think goes through a child's mind when somebody comes driving in the lane? A mama says, oh no! Not them again. But when the people come up to the door, mama opens the door and says, hi, I'm so glad to see you today. Hypocrisy. I'm sorry, but that we need to try to cultivate that we speak the same message all the time. What about another thing to think? What am I teaching my children when my children come home or wherever in life and they speak negatively about other church people. Where does that come from? A lot of times that comes from mama and daddy. The way the parents think and perceive other people comes out in the children too many times. It's often connected to the attitude of the parent. So what does the child think when daddy's out in the barnyard and he has always instructed his children to be kind to animals? But then when the cow stops on his toe, daddy goes, and I would give you grace. I have been there. But let us not be so proud to say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Let's be humble. So that, I hope you understand my point, that what we say and what we teach need to match with our life. When our words and our life speak the same thing, we are teaching the children that also. But if my life is teaching that I can make it to heaven by talking right, but my life reveals otherwise, it's going to raise a generation of some very troubled people. They could have learned things the hard way. So let's keep the gospel quite clear. Not practice what we say and what we do should be one unified expression. So a question reminding that if the way you are living now, is this how you would want your children to live? It starts at home. A home is kind of a pain with training ground sometimes. So is my home life and my public life similar? When a family together, living and working together as God intended, it is one of the most powerful testimonies. It is a tremendous powerful. People notice when they see mama and daddy and children together. People notice that. We don't always hear it, but it speaks loudly to the world around it. Another very foundational concept that we need to teach our children, and that is God is good. Always. Never, never doubt God. As a young boy, I memorized Psalm 34. It's a familiar psalm. And verse 8 says, I should go to there to make sure I have it correctly. And yeah, oh, take and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. God is good all the time. When we teach our children that God is good all the time, it gives them a very, very solid foundation to handle hard questions of life. When they grow up, and sooner or later, you will come up against some very hard things of life. And if the foundation is there, that God is always good, it would help them tremendously in life. But it starts with us as parents. Like if we're really honest with ourselves, do we always portray that God is always good, or do we ever kind of get the impression that God is kind of bad sometimes? Like, why did God do that? Do I give the children impression of true faith in God or a little bit of doubt? If it affects the concept of God too. Maybe recognize the truth that God is always good. It gives a very good foundation to where when we ask God why this, why that, we are asking God in a way that we're trusting God. We just say why. We're not saying why because they're kind of bad to us. They're not being nice to us. Always face life redemptively. God is a redemptive God, and we need to see him as such. God is always good. Another thing that I feel like it's very admirable that we read in Psalm 78 is teach your children history. Teach them history. Or even encourage history at school. We have been very blessed. We read through Psalm 78. Well, we tried to even. Psalm 78. It talks about telling them the wondrous works of God. And in verse 7 of Psalm 78, it says, why? It says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Everybody has a story. Everybody has history. Our history, some might have kind of a bad history, some might have a good history, but we learn a lot from history. Too many times we don't, but I feel like history really, really helpful. When the children of Israel, as they traveled, they were to remember the deliverance from Egypt. Tell the story, tell your children the story, that way we don't forget God. I feel like God has given us a tremendous heritage. Tell your children the history. It actually can help them establish their faith in God, not in a heritage, but in God, because they can see the finger of God moving, the kingdom of God, the truth of Christ. Tell them your own personal story, how you came to Christ. What is God doing in your life? When children see daddy and mama actively trying to grow and become more Christ-like, it has a big impact on them. Did you know parents need God too? We all need God. Not everybody recognizes the need of God, but we all need God. So teach them to appreciate the heritage, but I would be very quick to tell you, you cannot live off of the faith of 500 years ago. Every generation had to make that personal tree of faith. So are we teaching appreciation or contempt for history? It's God's story. Every person, every child needs to make that step of faith. Otherwise, faith would die. To teach them history. And the last point I have is not the leaf. Too many times we don't make the connection between root and fruit. This is maybe personal to the parents. If the fruit of my teaching is not what it should be, maybe there's a root in me that needs to be taken care of. It about even for anybody but children, for all of us, if my life is producing bad fruit, it doesn't work just to cut off the fruit. I need to go to the root. That way I can look down in my heart. That way my life produces good fruit. And what has happened so many times in the Anabaptist circle is that we see a bad fruit. And so we try to suppress the fruit. But if there's carnality in the heart, it's going to pop up somewhere else. And so we suppress that. It comes up here. There's a connection between root and fruit. So when they're in the home, in the church, in our training program, or in our personal life, we remember that there's a connection between root and fruit. And then when there's bad root, let's go to the root. Let us open our heart to God and say, God, what do I need to change? What is in my life? Humility is crucial if you want the help of God. The reason humility is so crucial is because the Bible says God resisted the proud. God doesn't not like proud. He actually resisted the proud. But he gives great to the humble. If you humble yourself in the hand of God, he will lift you up. The goodness of God needs to be repentant. So feel free to say you're sorry if you've done wrong. So as we live life, what am I teaching them? I'm teaching them what? Am I teaching them that we live with God all the time? Or do I teach them that I can talk my way into heaven? However you want to put it. But what am I teaching? Now to the parents, please do not be discouraged. If you see some flaw in how you want to teach your children, don't be discouraged. Just go to God. Allow God to help us. We make mistakes, but God will help us if we allow him to. Amen. So I just five things to remember. The first one is, who is teaching the parent? That's what you're teaching your children. Who is teaching the parent? And number two, hypocrisy must go. God wanted to live life in one as one unified expression. Whether it's talk, walk, work, worship, let it be one unified expression for God. Speak the same message. And number three, God is always good. Good. Do you believe that? God is always good. We have to. That is so foundational. So when we come to God with that question, we come to God in honesty and faith. Lord, you are good. I just don't understand. Please help us. Rather than saying, God, why are you like that? If you understand, God is always good. And number four, teach them history. Tell them the story of your life. Tell them the wondrous works of God. If God has saved you, if God has brought you here, you have a story to tell. It's unfortunate if we keep that gospel message to us. God has meant for his work in our life to spill out to others. The Bible talks about those that have received God out of his belly with flows, rivers of living water. We are to be light producing. And number five, root. Come from a root. And that seems overly simplified, but in nature, you plant, if there's a tomato, it's because there's a tomato root. We don't gather grapes from thistles. We don't gather, if you have a great big oak tree, you're not going to get a watermelon off of it. Roots come from the root. So there's either root, there's either root. That's pretty black and white to say that. But the more honestly we face that, the more we waste so much time trying to deal with the root, when if we simply go to the root, we can take care of a lot. Talking about watermelon and acorn, I read a story one time of a man. He was sitting under a mighty oak tree, big oak tree. And he was just sitting down, and he got to looking over the garden, saw these watermelon vines. He was like, mighty God, there's this huge oak tree with one little, like many little acorns. And on the ground, with all these weak vines producing huge watermelons. Like, why? And then all of a sudden, an acorn hit him. And he got to think, oh, but I'm glad that wasn't a watermelon. So God knows what he's doing. God is good. God put watermelon on the ground and acorn up on the tree. So we can thank him for that. So we come from a root. We need God's help to help us recognize where good and bad root come from. Humility is crucial for the help of God. I think of a time when the patient be quitting. So in our child training, whether we try to or not, we are teaching our children. Remember, what are we teaching them?